Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin, you're listening to Up North News.
I sense a theme. There is a new note from NBC News about Ron Johnson, who has figured out, in light of the Marquette poll results released yesterday, that he has a problem and that his image needs a makeover. So I have to click on this, now. If you, NBC News is one of those sites where if you click on it, then you just leave the tab open. It cycles through other stories, plays the audio. So if you hear audio, it's that. They're kind of the second worst platform next to the old Gannett one that the Journal Sentinel and the others are based on, in terms of just as frustrating as it gets. Anyway, Johnson told NBC News, "I'm trying to tell people who I am. I'm pretty proud of what I've accomplished in life, both in the private sector and as a United States Senator. I'd much rather lead with that. I'd much rather win based on that message." I don't know if he necessarily believes that, but he knows that his aides and others have been fuming over how he's been depicted as a Washington insider who has profited off of his position and lost touch with the average Wisconsinite. And that's because that is exactly what has happened. And if you followed our coverage on Up North News over the past 2.5 years, you would see that he makes comments in public forums and others that, of course, his business benefited from decisions that he has made, and that his wealth has, in fact, doubled while he's in office. And then he moans about it, that, it actually should have been more if he hadn't put more into a trust. Well, I mean, cry me a river, Senator Johnson. So he understands that he wants to have some kind of a makeover. And I'm pretty sure we've seen this before. 6 years ago, his first TV ad of this campaign is focused on his personal biography, highlighting to residents how he spent his younger years delivering newspapers, baling hay on his uncle's farm before moving to Oshkosh to run a business with his brother. And look, he can try to Norman Rockwell his image all he wants, but there's only 82 days to the election, and you can't undo in 82 days what you have built up over 12 years, that image of what you are, of what you've become, a multimillionaire whose work in the United States Senate has not been on behalf of the working class families of Wisconsin. Your biggest single achievement was insisting on a tax break in 2017 that benefited you, that benefited billionaires who are now bankrolling a super PAC running ads about how great you are. Delivering newspapers when you're a kid and talking about it, that's not going to undo that.
Do you want to hear from the senator in his own words something about his record here in the last 12 years?
Do tell.
So Obamacare is still in place and we've doubled the debt. I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
That's what he has to say about his 12 years in the Senate. That was Senator Ron Johnson talking about it himself.
You have to keep in mind, any time that he talks about the debt and deficits, that was a big boogeyman of his in 2010. Republicans have controlled one or both houses of Congress through much of his time in office, and things did not get better. They're only getting better now under President Biden, with Democrats controlling Congress, with a new bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, that's going to bring down the deficit further, progress that's already been made up till now and is only going to build. And again, Ron Johnson voted against that as well. The economy has been getting better for a lot of folks. The new note from the Associated Press this morning shows that slightly fewer Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week, as the labor market continues to stand out as one of the strongest segments of the U.S. economy. The number of Americans collecting traditional unemployment benefits did increase last week, but it's the new unemployment applications that are often seen as the early indicator of where the job market is headed, meaning things are continuing to go well. Joe Zepecki mentioned earlier in our last hour that inflation remains a concern. Economic concerns are still high on the minds of many voters. But 82 days from now, if trends like this continue, that's going to also reflect in the mind of the American voter.
And one of the biggest, or not necessarily biggest, but it was a pretty stark example of where costs were rising for a lot of people, like on goods that a lot of people consume. Chicken wings were skyrocketing prices, and now they're at a four-year low. And part of that had to do not only with the pandemic and supply chains, but also there was bird influenza that was spreading across Wisconsin and the country. But now, just in time for football season, Pat, we've got chicken wings at a four-year low for price.
Well, there's cause for national celebration.
Exactly. Everybody. I'm super happy about that this morning.
Yeah. Hey, it works out. And I think, look, I'll be the first to tell you that after, you know, growing up in a very low income household, I'm doing all right now. So keep in mind that, you know, that things are fine with me, but I'm still going to make the case anyway that for all of the hand-wringing about inflation, we knew, most of us knew, that it was a temporary thing brought about by the global economy bouncing back off of the lows of the early parts of the pandemic. This was not something that was going to last. Anybody my age or older remembers the stagflation that ran from the early to mid 1970s till the early 1980s. There was a lot to love about the 1970s. We played most of the music that proves that yesterday. But that was also a time with inflation running at like 8-9% every year. It was bad. And we knew what the conditions were that made it bad. And you look at the conditions today and they are not the same. We go through these cycles. Gas prices have always gone up and down. It's like some kind of miracle that prices go up just as we're starting to drive or on Memorial Day and prices come down. By the way, when the prices go up, doesn't it always seem like one refinery suddenly had a fire or something? It's almost like the oil companies own a calendar, or something like that. These things come in cycles. So the cycle includes chicken wings. So, congrats to Luke. He's going to get the snack during the games. You won't have to have that charcuterie tray or, what? Crudité. Whatever.
Crudité. Charcuterie. The other day. Yeah, same thing. Charcuterie, I can't spell either. The crudité one's funny because I see on social media like a different spelling of crudité all across the board. Charcuterie falls into that too. It's out of touch people like Dr. Oz, like Senator Ron Johnson. I think he would, not maybe to the same extent as Dr. Oz, but it just shows the lengths that some individuals that are running for office are trying to come out as relatable to fix numbers that they're seeing in polling, like we saw in the Marquette University Law School polling yesterday, that their favorite, I would assume, I haven't looked at Pennsylvania polling just because we've got so much to keep an eye on here in Wisconsin. Who can find the time to try to keep an eye on the Pennsylvania race outside of those viral clips like the crudité? But it's a veggie tray. Stop trying to overcomplicate it. Like, if you really want to seem relatable on the problems of inflation, calling
the wings. Wings are easier to say. They're easier to spell. And again, a little bit more relatable than
crudité.
Your veggie tray. I actually did want to try to talk to somebody from our sister publication, The Keystone, out in Pennsylvania. But as I mentioned earlier, Netroots Nation, a big progressive convention, is taking place in Pittsburgh this week. So I was not able to get the folks away from the party long enough to join us. But I'm hoping next week we will get updates from Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Michigan, where Courier Newsroom has sister outlets, and we'll find out what's happening with the campaigns there. Because for as much as we pick on both Ron Johnson for being out of touch or Tim Michaels for being from Connecticut and trying to run for governor in Wisconsin, he's never going to top Dr. Oz, being in New Jersey, having hardly stepped foot in Pennsylvania, yet somehow thinks he can run for Senate in Pennsylvania. It has been a comical campaign, and it is not going to it's not going to get any less funny as we move through these last 12 weeks of the campaign. But when I mentioned that, you know, more people are working, that unemployment applications are down, again, we have a labor force where we had a lot of early retirees. They've earned it. We have certainly the baby boomers that are coming of age. These are all demographics that were coming, but they were made worse by things like Act 10 from Scott Walker and Wisconsin Republicans driving teachers away. And then the beyond shameful way that Wisconsin Republicans treated teachers and educators when it came to COVID-19 safeguards. So small wonder, as I said yesterday, we were going to be putting up a story about teacher shortages and how bad they're getting. And I just checked with WISN TV in Milwaukee, and their new story says there are more than 230 teacher vacancies in Milwaukee public schools. It is, I want to get the name right here, and it's not there. I'm proofreading a story right now. And sometimes you ever see a story where it just has the last name and you're scrolling up to get the first name and you're realizing they never made the first reference to the person. They lost it somewhere in the editing process.
Uh-oh.
That probably doesn't happen to you.
No. I don't have to do a ton of the editing. I help compile news stories for the Civic Media Radio Network, so we went on our top and bottom of the hour news hits, but I don't have to do a whole lot of the actual in-the-weeds editing for any of those.
So in this case, it was apparently just it was the teachers' union president, and it says, I think practically everyone at this point knows a teacher who has cut their time teaching short. There's a recruitment and retention problem. We need help. We need a legislature that is going to prioritize students in public schools. And a parent with an eighth grader in Milwaukee was interviewed and said, we're not paying teachers enough. I think we're losing teachers because of it. They're going to non-teaching jobs because they pay better and they're not using as much of their personal time. Not to mention their personal funds. We had the story a few days back about how much teachers pay out of their own pocket for basic supplies because the parents of their students sometimes don't have the funds for that. But instead, this war on public education has led us to the point where there's something just ridiculous happening in, and you can guess the state. Yes, it's Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis has a new plan that to address the teacher shortage, and that the way to do that is to let a bunch of non-teachers come in and teach, people who were not trained to be educators.
That's wild, because wasn't that Scott Walker's plan to address the teacher shortage here in Wisconsin, like 2016?
So there's very similar. That's been the answer all the time is, again, as a way to basically, first off, denigrate teachers who work their tails off to get to where they are. But also, to justify not paying them very much and always being, anti-tax about this, that, or the other thing, they say, oh, well, anybody can do your job. So the Florida program would offer bonuses to retired military veterans and retired first responders, as long as they have 60 college credits, pass an exam. DeSantis says a teaching degree isn't necessary. And of course, teachers are pointing out that this is a fundamental misunderstanding of what a teacher does. Yeah, you're an expert in a certain field, but there's also classroom management skills. A degree in biology doesn't include a course on what to do if a student is caught cheating on a biology assignment. This and a whole lot of other things. And so as this Florida teacher notes, the solution is to pay us what we're worth. Florida still ranks 47th or 48th in teacher pay. It's an outright embarrassment. And I'm not making the case Wisconsin should be number one, though there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. But we need to be doing better. We need to value the people who are educating our children, if not at the level of multi-gazillion-dollar athletes, at least more than what we're doing now. We're letting them down. We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.